I'm very happy to have the honor this afternoon to introduce Dr. Sidney Chapman. Professor Chapman's going to carry on from age 22 or 23, which is where he left off a year and a half ago or a year ago when he gave his first talk about science and scientists, some recollections, 1904 on. And I thought, as I prepared myself to introduce him this afternoon, that I could do no better than to go back to the 26th of April, 1962, when I had the extraordinary thrill of introducing Professor Chapman for the receipt of the Bowie Medal of the American Geophysical Union in Washington, D.C. So what I plan to do is to read the citation which I read on that occasion for Professor Chapman. This is the 24th award of the William Bowie Medal on the 26th of April, 1962. Sidney Chapman has painted bold, skillful strokes across the whole broad canvas of geophysics. Ever since 1910, when he first unlimbered his scientific talents as a young chief assistant at the Royal Observatory at Greenwich, he has participated continuously and creatively in the study of geomagnetism. Graduate students entering astrogeophysics today, challenged by his astonishing command of the tools of their trade, find it hard to believe that this is the same Sidney Chapman who nearly five decades ago published his first great works on the kinetic theory of gases. Younger colleagues envy the sustained scientific vigor that today enables him to surpass his lifetime average output, which for a half century has exceeded one published scientific paper every 2 months. Chapman, as Marcel Nicolay has pointed out, belongs to several generations. He was strongly influenced by men like Schuster, Larmore, and Dyson. He produced distinguished works of collaboration with such colleagues as Ferraro, Cowling, Bartels, and Vestine. He has profoundly affected the scientific careers of promising young scientists of today, as witness Sugiura, Kane, Britton, and Akasofu. His direct influence, thus, will nearly span the 20th century. By 1917, he made important contributions to a theoretical understanding of the viscosity and conduction in a simple gas and in a gaseous mixture, and had discovered that thermal diffusion results necessarily from a temperature gradient. These early studies culminated in 1939 in the publication with Cowling of a classic volume, The Mathematical Theory of Non-Uniform Gases. Chapman recently turned his lifelong interest in gaseous thermal conduction to the solar corona and developed the provocative concept of the conduction corona extending to many astronomical units from the sun and serving as a heat source for the upper layers of the Earth's ionosphere. Many years ago, Chapman carried out his now famous studies of solar and lunar geomagnetic variations and of solar and lunar atmospheric tides. He also made important contributions to our understanding of ideal layers in the ionosphere, the so-called Chapman layers. His name is equally associated with the study of the morphology of magnetic storms and with the concept of the formation under the impact of clouds of ionized solar matter of a ring current, some half dozen radii above the Earth's equator. Chapman, whose scientific aspirations were maturing before the first flight of airplane, keeps pace with the space age with predictions of the magnetic field structure to be detected from artificial satellites 25,000 miles above the Earth. These predictions are based on a new and highly interesting theory of the origin and morphology of the aurora and associated geomagnetic disturbances developed jointly by Chapman and his young student and colleague, Akasofu. It is impossible to speak of Sidney Chapman without talking of his simplicity, the vigor of his physical regimen, his independence of spirit, his integrity, and his concern for the common welfare of men of all races and political convictions. People who know and love Chapman, and they are found in every corner of every continent, frequently meet, tired after long travels or from listening to tedious seminars, to exchange Chapman's stories. These deal with his generosity towards poor or struggling scientists, his feats of physical endurance, his keen wit, his ability to outsmart red tape, the frequency with which he can pop up unexpectedly in any part of the globe, these and many other endearing traits. I remember, for example, in 1955, when Chapman was in Boulder, that he invited Paul Weil to climb a nearby peak, Green Mountain. The climb was arduous, but Weil, with the advantage of being half Chapman's age, measured up well. Returning and feeling deep fatigue, Weil invited Chapman to his quarters to rest from the climb. Chapman, however, excused himself with the explanation that he had to catch a bus. It was a holiday, and since the university's swimming pool was closed, he had to go to Denver to avoid missing his daily swim. The astronomers Stibbs and Allen recount a famous day about the same year when Chapman wanted to cycle from Canberra to Sydney in Australia, a distance of more than 150 miles. The authorities at the observatory felt that a man of Chapman's age should not be allowed to cycle alone for such a distance. Thus, Stibbs accompanied him to the midpoint of the journey. Allen, who had ridden there by train, met the pair and spelled Stibbs on the bicycle for the second half of the journey. Even so, it proved to be an arduous job for the caretakers. I especially appreciate the story of his rejoinder to a graduate student who was amazed to see Chapman learning some new wrinkles in hydromagnetics from a fresh postdoctoral. He later asked Chapman if he didn't find it odd to learn from somebody so much younger than he. "My dear fellow," Chapman replied, "if I didn't, I'd be in a bad way. Nearly everyone is younger than I." Chapman has been blessed with health, stamina, balance, imagination, principle, sense of purpose. His life has been enriched by the steady companionship of a wife with a charm and a spirit to match his own. He and Catherine Chapman have shared the joys of being proud parents and grandparents, and their home and their hearts have been generously open to young people from many lands who have turned to them in times of trial and in times of triumph. His contributions to society and to science are countless. He was president of 8 professional societies and international president of the IGY. He is a member of over 18 scientific societies. He has received medals and honorary degrees from societies and institutions in all parts of the globe. He served the universities of Manchester, London, and Oxford. Today, in what with great inaccuracy is called retirement, he serves actively at the Geophysical Institute of the University of Alaska, the High Altitude Observatory, and the University of Michigan. And I should say, by the way, parenthetically, that the retirement is equally inactively described as that today. Continuing with the citation, the name of Sidney Chapman thus stands out boldly throughout the whole modern history of the atmospheric sciences. He richly deserves the honor conferred upon him this evening. Sidney?
The present speaker probably needs less introduction than anybody I can think of. And as a matter of fact, the subject of his speech is to some extent himself. This is really all I'm going to say about him, except that there's one news item which some of you might not have heard about. Sidney Chapman has been awarded one of the highest honors, I guess, that one can be awarded. The Hodgkin's Medal of the Smithsonian Institution was awarded to Professor Chapman on August 17, 1965. That's why some of you might not have heard about it yet. And this Hodgkin's Medal has only been presented a few times in its history since Lord Rayleigh and Sir William Ramsay received it in 1890. Since then, only Sir James Dewar and Sir J.J. Thompson have received this medal until Professor Chapman got it. And it reads, the citation reads in part, and I'll read from the press release, for joining theoretically the sun's atmosphere to the Earth's atmosphere, and for discovering relationships between the Earth's magnetic field and the high atmosphere, and for being a tower of strength in the International Geophysical Year, actually he was president of SAGE, whereby his theories were remarkably verified and extended. With that,